The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And now, from our Northern Command studios, back to Lifeline with Andy Froiland.
And we're back. Lifeline, Pastor Phil Howard, our Truth for Today edition of Lifeline, here tonight talking about the power of God. And as we took our break, coming out of that break, Pastor Phil, the thought of the power of God, and in this power there is provision. This isn't just empty power for power's sake, is it? There's provision that comes in this power for purpose.
There's provision, and you know, we become a therapy culture, and we become, of course, a drug culture. There's legitimate use of drugs and medicines, but you think of to cope in this world, what people are doing to sleep at night, to be calm, to fight their different maladies. But I just think of when God is talking to Israel in Isaiah 40, he said, if you'll wait, if you'll rely, if you'll trust, I'll renew you. And I ask myself, you know, the old song, Sweet Hour of Prayer, has that one line, what cares we often needlessly bear, all because we don't take it to God in prayer. I wonder how much help and relief we're losing because we're too busy to wait. You think of it. If I'm waiting on the President of the United States, if I had to sit for 2 hours to get in, the guest that I'm going to see is worth it. And I think today, I have the greatest poverty in busyness. We're some of the busiest people accomplishing far too little. Yes. And he said, wait, you'll renew your strength, you'll mount up. Instead of being depressed, I'm going to bring you up to heights where you can glide on the strength of the Spirit. And you think of Paul saying something like this, I can do all things through Christ. And it's a Greek word. It's in dunamis. It's a preposition with dunamis for power. Through the God who is infusing strength in me.
Right.
And we are not a people given assignments where there's no power. Where there's no... I mean, you think of a church starting with a bunch of untrained men, 3 years with Jesus, but vocationally fishermen, getting over the tax trade,
yep,
whatever. And what God did in the book of Acts can be explained no other way than the supernatural, unpredictable power of God.
Right.
And oh, how I long, I miss it in my, maybe as you become longer in the faith, I've seen different weather conditions, as it were, in the church. And it's amazing people that none of us would be impressed by, but moves of God where he's just saved some of the most unlikely, unworthy, ungodly people, which we all were. And it's phenomenal what God has done on the earth in various people. I have to tell you, I went to Indonesia one time, and I was visiting different pastors, and it was a missions trip. And one man met the party I was with, met us at the airport. I think I was working on my doctor's degree at Dallas. And, you know, we were, as a church, we might have been running maybe 300 or 400, you know, regular experts on the church. I get there, I meet this Indonesian pastor, and we're talking, and one of the men I was with began to draw him out. Their church was running a couple thousand. He planted like 18 of the churches out of them. And I think, we're coming over here to teach. And God's doing a pretty good job using this man and the Indonesian in a hostile environment, primarily a Muslim country, and at times persecute Christians. And it's just amazing what God and His Spirit is doing. But I ask myself, have you ever learned to wait on the Lord?
Mm-hmm.
Could you describe your prayer life? Last week when I was praying, one day I had an experience. It was as though God came down and enfolded me in His arms. And I told my wife, I don't think I've ever experienced such a thing, that it was so intimate. I was just praying there, praying the Psalms, and all of a sudden feel yourself embraced by God the Father. And it was almost sensory. It was almost as though I could feel it.
Yeah.
Because the picture was, I was enfolded. It was shalom, shalom. It was peace, well-being. It is well with my soul.
Yeah.
And, you know, still, I have a sister-in-law who used to tell her boys, when you're in trouble, don't run from your help, but run to it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't run from a family that loves you, and don't run from a God that loves you. I'd say run to Him, run to Him, wait on Him. And God's made a promise, and I think that promise to Israel is just the same for the believer. If you'll take the time to wait, I'll take the time to renew you.
It's good for the young man to wait in the dust. He may yet find strength. Yeah. And the challenge we have, though, is I think the more we sit in silence, the more we find self-condemnation, don't we? I mean, maybe I'm just speaking for a lot of other folks, but you get the sense that as I wait in silence, my sin and my condemnation start screaming louder and louder and louder. This is where this power we've been talking about comes in, because if like you said, instead of just listening to our condemnation, we cling back to our source of strength and salvation.
Well, and this is where this is not yoga or Eastern meditation. We're going to the source.
Right.
We have a living God up there that says, do not be timid about your needs. I've told you to come boldly, because I've got a son up here that says, I guarantee you access. Come boldly, pour. There's no gunk in your life that I don't already know about.
Therefore,
please,
there
come.
Is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus.
I won't condemn you. I already did that at the cross.
Amen. And that's done. You know, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you, right? Is this not a brand I have plucked from the fire? Is this the Lord?
Yes. And, you know, when he said that to Joshua in Zechariah 3, he was a dirty mess.
Oh, he was.
But he said, he put clean garments on him. In the presence of God, he reclothed him.
And this is who our God comes after, isn't it? I mean, the first person that Jesus chases in the Gospel of John is a woman at the well, this outcast woman steeped in sin. He doesn't go after the priests and the kings and the celebrities and the sports stars. He goes after the nobodies.
Oh, my. The most shameful specimen in the town.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to introduce her to anyone. Said, this is the fastest woman in town. Watch out. Don't let your husband meet her. She's stealing from you.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you guys go in town and get some food. I've got time for this. And just think of this. And I think of before eternity, when he was filling out this daytimer on what his itinerary would look like. He said, I must go into Samaria.
Yeah.
And I years ago, I used to be kidded by a dear brother that in fun and jest would always say, you should have planted your church in a different part of the county because the part that you landed is known to be the rougher, tougher part. And I said, one day I told them, I said, there's a reason Jesus went to Samaria. I said, I was saved on this side of the town. When I was at Dallas Seminary, I said, you think world missions begins on the other side of the Sierra Nevada? But I said, God saves people in California.
He does. It's a rough spot. What a glorious opportunity, man. The worse it gets, the more the opportunity becomes, right?
Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound.
And as believers in Christ, we've been given a power that will be successful in those kind of areas, which we'll talk about on the other side of this break. We have been given a power that allows us the freedom to share Christ whenever and wherever. So we'll talk about that on the other side of this break. Quick time out. Back with Lifeline here on KFAX. Right after this.
And now from our Northern Command studios, back to Lifeline with Andy Froilan.
And we are back. Lifeline, Pastor Phil Howard here tonight on our Truth for Today edition of Lifeline. Truth for Today, heard Monday through Friday right here on KFAX, 5:30 in the morning, again 4:30 in the evening, just before Lifeline. And then, of course, Sunday mornings at 8:30. Great opportunity. And by the way, if you've got a question you'd like to direct to Pastor Phil, maybe what we're talking about tonight is sparking some thoughts in that gray matter that's in between your ears. Well, you're more than welcome to reach out to us on our website, truthfortodayradio.org, or call 855-833-9864. That's 855-833-9864. And again, email us on our website, truthfortodayradio.org. We're talking about the power of God tonight and this power that is availed to you and I as His children, and just how powerful this power is, and yes, the provision that comes in this power. My thought as we start this segment, Pastor Phil, is out of Psalm 119, verse 46, I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be put to shame. I marvel at the programs and classes and books that we feel we need to inundate our Christian borders with when it comes to simply sharing the gospel. And you're a pastor, you know as well as I do. You stand before your congregation, you go, hey, man, let's share Christ. And the first response is, oh, that's not my job. That's your job. You're the vicar. You're the pastor,
right?
You're the one with the collar, and you're we pay you for that. I wouldn't know what to say. I wouldn't know how to say it. I'm shy. I'm timid. I'm all the above. And to that, I humbly, lovingly say, wrong.
Well, I think if you shared that with Jesus, listen to what Luke said. He's explaining to the two downcast men on the Emmaus Road everything that the scriptures say about him. And it said, then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Now listen to this. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the spirit of timidity. No. I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then you go over to Acts 1:8. We see the fulfillment. And he says to them, but you will receive power, dunamis, enablement, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. I think it's interesting, the first assignment of the power, first manifestation, was not tongues or miraculous healings, as it did happen in Acts, many signs and wonders, but witnessing.
Yes.
And the word is martyrs, a martyrion. I'll make you the kind of witnesses that it may cost you your life. And let's ask how Stephen did. He stoned in Acts 7. How did James the Elder make it? Beheaded by Herod. How did Paul in Rome? Decapitated. Every one of them. You know, there's not very many people that would give their life for a lie. But these men gave their lives for something that was unmistakably true. But they also had a power to overcome their cowardice. Peter had already denied him three times. And this is a bold and a strong guy. But apart from the Spirit, he could deny his Savior. He never got over it. And I'll tell you, without the power of the Spirit, I can do any number of things that would shock me and you, because apart from the power of God, we're all sinners and capable of doing it. This is why we've got to be depending on this power. Sometimes I think we just want to get saved. I'm saved, and we got a moment. We name a date.
Fire insurance.
Fire. Yeah. But then if I ask you, how are you doing with lust? How you doing with your children? Any patience in the home? Is there any love, joy, and peace going? I mean, that's present tense struggle. And you won't have those characteristics apart from relying, depending, and walking in the Spirit. Because getting through this world with indwelling sin still in your members, bless John Wesley's heart. He never could become perfect, though he taught it. and you just learn to call all your sins another nice name. John said, if you say you're without sin, you're deceived and you're a liar. You do sin. Not that we're encouraging that. I don't want to encourage, but I'm as dependent on his power, not just from the initiation, but the day in and day out, so that can Christ, when I am witnessing, can anybody say to me, has it done any of that stuff for you? You're telling me, what did it do for me? What has it done for you? A changed life is probably the greatest argument we have besides the truth of the gospel. We're not perfect as witnesses, but as God changed us. I know the story of a man that was standing in front of a rescue mission in Houston, Texas. And he was inviting people to come into the rescue mission, but he was rather downcast that day. And the guy that I heard the story from was one of the men walking there. And he sarcastically said to the man, said, Well, I get in that place, whatever has you got, because you look fairly miserable. And he said, I've got enough troubles without going in there and getting more. And I think when we witness, I see people whining all the time, whining about this, complaining about that. And just said, you know what? Happy Christians, singing Christians, joyful Christians. I grew up around, we weren't a big church, small, but numbers doesn't make it better. It's whether the Spirit produced songs, thanksgiving, just what Ephesians 5 said. Is that going on in your heart? God, I was singing with my wife last night. We sing until we cry, because the emotion of music that is sung to the Savior It will melt the ice on your heart and make your eyes run again.
Amen.
The emotion, everybody's afraid of emotion. It's amazing. Most of them don't have any to start with. They're usually negative. We want positive joy unspeakable and full of glory. And God's power produces this. It takes people that were cranks, people that were mean, people that were unthankful, people that gave, and all of a sudden they got a song in their heart. They want to share with their neighbors. Oh my, God, do it again, do it again. Mm. Do it in our churches now. We desperately need witnesses.
Amen and amen. Boy, don't we. And that is the power. This is the power we've been talking about here this evening on Lifeline as we focus in on what the blood of Christ, this blood that we're going to celebrate in just a couple of weeks' time. This is the currency. This is the currency of heaven that God deals in. The blood of Christ purchases us this power that Pastor Phil is talking about and the provision that comes along with it. More on this as we continue our conversation here tonight on Lifeline. By the way, if you've got questions, you want to reach out to us, truthfortodayradio.org. Great place to start. Drop us an email there. Or give us a call, 855-833-9864. We've got more as Lifeline continues right after this.
And now from our Northern Command studios, back to Lifeline with Andy Froilan.
We're back. Lifeline. Pastor Phil Howard tonight on our Truth for Today edition, talking about the power of God and just how it transforms our lives and how it also directs our lives. You know, Phil, we were just before we started this segment, we were talking about, the power that also keeps us. I thought of, the founder of Salvation Army, Booth.
William Booth,
and somebody who did not know who he was came up to him and asked him, "Sir, have you been saved?" To which Booth said, "Do you mean, have I been saved? Am I being saved? Or will I be saved?" And there is a three-part salvation, isn't there? There are three powers. We've been saved from the penalty of sin. We are being saved from the power of sin, and in glorification, we will be saved from the presence of sin. But that power to stay us is really significant. I think a lot of people lose sight of that, don't they?
Well, I think it's the mystery and the challenge of any group, that doesn't matter who they are. What is your solution for present tense victory over sin? Mm. It's not just, I've become declared righteous, I've been justified, past tense, aorist tense, it's been done, but I'm over here, I'm struggling with pornography, I'm struggling with a bad temper, bad attitude, I'm struggling with besetting sins, maybe that I brought from the old life, or I'm being set up again, tempted. Now, and I just to set it up, I had a wonderful prof in seminary. When I was sick and had a temperature, I would drive across the San Francisco Bay Bridge to hear him. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. But I asked him, he would always critique the theology books that we were using. He would take Augustus Strong, critique, tell you where he was a theistic evolutionist. He would tell you all of his theology, boom, 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 synthesis. But one theologian he never messed with, hardly, was Lewis Chafer. Huh? And I said, and one day I went to his room, I said, "You know, you always critique all these guys." And I said, "Why is it you don't critique Lewis Chafer and everything?" He said, "Oh, I'll tell you." He said, "You're looking at an ex-Navy boxer. He was 6'5", big. He was French-German, and built like a linebacker, a big man." And he said, "I was the debating champion for the state of Oregon." He said, "But I became a Christian, but as rough as a cop, had four children." He said, "Some way I heard about Lewis Chafer, Dallas Seminary." He said, "I drove to Dallas taking four kids and a wife. and I got into a trailer house while I went to school. And he said, Lewis Chafer took a beat up, defeated Christian, me, and showed me how to have victory. Mm-hmm. And he said, I could win all arguments, but I'm still a defeated Christian. Great battle with temper. Great battle with being a good husband. This and that. He said, and that old shriveled up old man that they carried into the class as he got older, the students would carry him. He'd been a music leader for Dwight L. Moody. But he wrote he is spiritual, and he would always talk about the Christian life. And you've got all these folks, they could slam Keswick movement, two-stage salvation, two-stage. What it is, the big challenge that the Methodists and all of them, we see nominal Christians or Christians in the pew that seem to be frozen, maybe critical, have preacher for dinner every Sunday, always picking pastors. Turnover. They could only last 2 years because the church is too carnal. They want a guy to give them a revival because they sure won't bring it. They won't waste much time. I want this church to look good. I'm paying you to make us look good. Do you know how to tell them how to overcome sin? Can you take a 13-year-old boy in the maybe the heat of puberty? Is there any power to overcome all those youthful lust and drives? Or is it get saved, live like hell, and hope you go to heaven? Is that the Christian life? No. And I read Peter here where he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. We got heaven made, but listen, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. I want to ask you, dear believer, are you cashing in on the power that was sent on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit's power? Walk in the Spirit, and you absolutely, it's a double negative in the Greek, oume, you absolutely will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh is with us all the way. It's you know what? I just was in a case where a brother died, a gentle, easygoing man. But as Alzheimer's took him, he became violent. And I had another pastor friend says, where did the violence come from? He said it's innate in the sin principle that's in him, that without being on the guard, without being able in his mind to be trusting God, the old sin principle could act out. My sister Alzheimer's, her last days in the hospital, she would attack the workers trying to help her. And she's one of the most passive, easygoing people. But when the mind was going, the sin principle could still manifest itself in its ugly. We've got to have a power greater than sin. And Paul said in Romans 7, he said, I want to do good, but I do the wrong. I do things I hate. And he said, I look at the law and it says, thou shalt not covet. And he said, it made me want to covet everything.
Yeah.
Now, not only another woman, another item, another possession, just a strong word, epithumia. I was just a bundle full of unfulfilled desires for something outside of God's will. I was a bundle of covetousness. And he said, there was no hope in chapter 7 until I was introduced to a Trinitarian God at 8. First of all, this God said, my son's taking care of the sentence against you so you can live the Christian life guilt-free. said, besides that, there's a greater principle than sin called the law of the Spirit. And if you depend on him, he's greater than your sin principle. What's innate to you, it's your humanity. You don't need to practice sinning. It just comes with the package.
Yeah.
But I do have to practice relying on the Spirit, or else I won't have the fruit of the Spirit. And some manifestation of the flesh will show up. Envy, jealousy, you know, it just busts out so many different ways. And so God can keep what he saves. And he wants to keep you. He wants to keep you, sister, you, brother. Are we having present tense joy and victory over that appetite? You know, we used to always worry about the attack without. Our bigger problem is the appetite within.
Within, exactly.
Because the world appeals to three things. The lust of my eye, and that's where the internet has captured the eye.
Yeah.
And then the lust of the flesh. You put my sin nature with my eyes, I'm in a mess. And then pride.
Yeah.
And so he said, If you love in the world, the love of the Father's not in you. You can't love both the same way. And so our need is for power. And I grew up with people that were, the power was measured by spiritual gifts. I was in the tongues movement. That kind of, and yet you see the Corinthian church, they had a lot of spiritual gifts, but they had a lot of immoral men.
The power was absent.
They were going to the prostitutes at the temple. And he said, hey, your body wasn't saved for this use.
No.
And so in us, you know what? I heard it said one time, if you take care of sheep, you've got to wade through lots of manure.
Yeah.
And in this world, it's full of dirty things. And so God's wanting to cleanse us. Keep us clean. What would we do without the blood of Christ, who is continually bathing us? First John says, it's a present tense. He's continually washing us, so that we can even approach the Father.
Well, on that note, we'll take a quick time out, and when we come back and close out our program, we'll give a thought or two to the upcoming resurrection season that we're celebrating, and tie it all up in a nice little bow, all right? This is Lifeline with Pastor Phil Howard, back right after this on KFAX.
And now from our Northern Command studios, back to Lifeline with Andy Froyland.
And we are back. It's Lifeline. Pastor Phil Howard here tonight, our Truth for Today edition of Lifeline. We thank you for spending some time with us tonight. We trust it's been profitable to you and encouraging in your walk and relationship with Christ. And dare I coin the term empowering? Because that is what tonight has been all about, which, by the way, you can listen to again if you go to KFAX.com and just click on the tabs that will link you from Lifeline to past programs, and you'll find it here. So share it with those who didn't get a chance to listen in tonight, and encourage somebody with what we've been talking about here this evening, which is the power of God unto salvation, as Paul said in Romans 1 there, the dunamis, the dynamite, all-encompassing heavenly, spiritual, omnipotent power of God that we have available to us. That just blows me away, Phil. I sit there and I look at that and I think, my goodness, and we flounder the way we do. Really? How do you reconcile those two? And especially as we come up on Easter and celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior.
Well, we want to celebrate the fact that there's a power greater than our sin. The sin that can condemn you, the sin that can control you. And so that I think of it just in our own mind. If God can raise a dead man from the grave and seat him at his right hand, is this God who sent the Spirit strong enough to control sin within you? He can pay for sin's penalty. Can he break sin's power? And don't we have thousands and millions of believers in the chains of sin, whether it was this sin or that sin, has been broken and chained? I think that we got to preach this, and we don't have to get into a sensationalism. It's just God makes new creations out of us. God puts new appetites in us, new desires, and none of us become sinless, but we do sin less, and chains are broken. And I think the Spirit-filled life should be the normal Christian life. There's no other way to overcome our temptations and some basic disciplines. I think a vibrant prayer life, just consistent. Let's make it consistent. A prayer life where you're casting your care, sharing your temptations, and buying a good pair of tennis shoes so you can run away from those temptations you don't know how to resist. I think that's a thing we must admit. Some temptations you're not made to resist. You're told to flee. Satan, you're to stand still. You don't run from Satan. You just stand in the power of God. There's another one. We got an adversary 1,000 times stronger than us. God says, stand. My armor, my word, and my spirit will protect you. But I think it's learning to deal with these enemies in our Christian life, the world and Satan. But our biggest enemy we carry within our bosom, it's called sin nature, the sin principle that you never can get rid of. But there is a power, the power of the Spirit. Keeping in step with him, we can keep putting to death. Think of what he said in Romans 8:13. If by the Spirit we put to death, I love this. John Owens wrote a book on this, talking about how to deal with sin, but I'll read it to you. It says, so then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. And here he's not talking about the meat on your bones. He's talking about the sin principle, and it's flesh. He uses it that way. For if you live according to the flesh, you are about to die. But if by the Spirit, and it's really through the agency of the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. God has given us something greater than the law. Israel under the law as a whole could not please God. They failed miserably. And one of the things that was taken from Israel was the temple. And only as they went to temple and worshiped God did he give them the enablement to follow his commandments, like Psalms 119 says. But for you, dear believer, you're not under the law. Romans says 10 times we are not under law as a way of life. It not just commands, we're under the control of the Spirit. And he says, by the Spirit, you've got to take that temptation and you run to the Father and you say, this is wrong. I'm going to put it to death. I choose to kill it. I know I've died with Christ. That's done in the mind of God. But in my practice, I have to say, right here, Lord, I'm being tempted to do this sin. I'm being tempted. I have to say, I grew up that if I sinned, I was in doubt as to whether I was saved. And so I grew up in a tradition that having assurance of salvation was not taught hardly. Mm-hmm. We were always being warned about losing it, about backsliding. And so as a teenage boy, I had no way to deal with sin. And so I just would backslide, as they use that language, quit going to church, and was miserable because I had been born again, and the misery. I'd be out running the streets with some guys. I used to cry myself to sleep many a night and tell the Lord, I would live for you if I knew how, but I don't. And so all I'm doing is offering tears of misery. I'm more miserable than when I knew I was going to hell. And I'm, thank God I found out that I really wasn't lost. I didn't know how to overcome sin. I didn't know about 1 John 1:9, that I had an advocate saying, all I'm looking for you to do is to admit to me you did it.
Yeah.
And I'll pick up the charges. Mm. And so I would say, dear child of God, there is one who's powerful, who is keeping you in the Lamb's Book of Life till glory. And in the meantime, in our world that is saturated with traps and temptations, learn to flee what you need to flee. Learn to stand when you should stand. And by all means, learn what you ought to love and learn what you ought to hate.
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
There you go. Yeah. And he says in those, like Proverbs 6, learn the things to hate. A haughty eye, a man that lies, a man wants to shed blood. We must ask God to rejuvenate the hate element. It's not hate people, hate sin.
We don't compromise with sin.
We don't compromise.
We don't negotiate with it. We kill it. And that is the call. That's the gospel call. Kill it.
As Owen said, kill it before it kills you.
Amen and amen. And with that, we're going to come to the end of our time together today, brother. It's just flown by, but then with a topic like this, listener, if you missed any portion of tonight's program, please allow the guys here at the station to give them a chance to post it. It's got to be posted, but it will be available on KFAX.com. Click on Lifeline, go to past programs, and you'll find it right there. This is one worthy of re-listening to yet again. It has been a joy spending time with you here tonight. Questions, comments about the broadcast, as always, you're welcome to visit us. truthfortodayradio.org. Drop us an email there or call us 855-833-9864. And again, remember, as always, you can listen to Truth for Today Monday through Friday right here on KFAX. In the mornings, 5:30, great way to get started. 4:30 in the afternoon, if you'd like to end your day with us on the road. And Sunday mornings at 8:30. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Good Friday. We've got a Good Friday service. What time?
7 p.m.
So next Friday. No, week from... 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks from today. What time again? 7 p.m. Valley Bible Church in Hercules. Good Friday service. You don't want to miss it. There you go. The plug for the night. Have a great evening. We'll see you next month. Same time. Same bat station. Same bat channel. Until then, God bless you as you seek Christ and Him crucified.
Opinions expressed in the preceding program do not necessarily represent the views of the ownership, staff, or management of KFAX. Copyright Salem Communications, all rights reserved. Streaming at KFAX.com, on our mobile app, TuneIn, iHeart, and the Odyssey app. KFAX, San Francisco, Oakland, San Jose. Service of Salem Media Group, sponsored by Hilton.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.